It seems that I am transitioning from mere human to Robotoid, an enhanced version of me. Becoming Robbie the Robot, a golfer's journey from fallible flesh to digital design. My golfing arsenal now contains so many technological devices that I am questioning my humanity. The most recent acquisition is the ShotScope H4, and it may well have tipped me over the edge. It joins my handheld laser, my Phantom GPS, and the MyScore app on my phone. Some folks might mention the term overkill here, but I find each of these devices offers something unique as well as their shared abilities. Robotic golfers. The ShotScope H4 is the latest piece of equipment to accompany me on my competitive golfing forays. This device plots my round shot by shot and offers me the opportunity to analyze this data post-round. The value of this information in such crystal clear formatted shape is yet to be ascertained, but I suspect it will prove fruitful. However, learning to use this technological aid has definitely messed with my head. I've always thought that golfers look quite robotic from the perspective of the external viewer. We all wear similar outfits with caps and collared shirts, often emblazoned with brand names like Titleist and Callaway. In addition, we have pre-shot routines which appear robotic to the uninitiated. Transitioning to digital display golf. It has been interesting to observe how difficult it is to amend my own golfing routines to include what is demanded by the ShotScope device. The small handheld, can be worn on your belt, unit scans sensors located on discs attached to the butt of your golf clubs. The new protocol requires the golfer to bring the butt of your grip to the face of the unit prior to playing each shot. Remembering to do this without fail is harder than I thought it would be, especially when you stuff a shot up in the bunker or wherever. Who wants to record failure? Like anything, I suppose, it takes time to assimilate new behaviours. The whole experience got me thinking about what is happening to all of us in the modern world, on and off the golf course. We are all interacting with technology more and more throughout our lives. Smartphones and computers are everywhere and involving themselves in our everyday activities. Futurists are already predicting the enhancement of Homo sapiens via implants as the most likely way forward in our evolvement. Becoming Robbie the Robot, or Robin, or non-binary Bobby is on the cards for our kids and future generations on planet Earth. Returning to my demonic struggle with the new device during a competitive round of golf. Needless to say, I forgot to scan clubs at various times during my round. Plus, I felt very self-conscious about the scanning procedure in front of my four-ball playing partners. I made light of it and injected some self-depreciating humour into the situation. This was not hard because I felt like a fool, forgetting to achieve these simple scanning procedures and putt counting at the flag after each hole. My playing partners joined in telling me that it looked like I was touching my dick all the time. The unit was centrally located on my belt. Actually, when I did relieve myself in the bushes, the question whether I needed to scan something flashed through my head. Confusion and disorientation were circling their wagons around me on each tee. Golf, as many of us know, is largely a mental game, and how we deal with this keeps us obsessed with the struggle. If hitting a little white ball around a vast arena of manicured nature was easy, I suspect that most of us would not bother. The fact that the golf ball sits stationary on the ground and there is so much time to think about stuff in between shots messes with our heads. Therefore, what we do as golfers in and around playing strokes becomes important to the vigilant golfer. Introducing new behaviors can upset the apple cart. Repetitive scanning had me feeling like I was becoming Robbie the Robot. It was like my humanity was slipping through my fingers to be replaced by a cold digital design. I wondered whether my best golf was rooted in my passionate animal self, and perhaps I was doing a disservice to it via all these electronic devices. The upshot, however, was that I won A grade on Saturday in my first foray out with the ShotScope H4. The bloke who came second was the guy who introduced me to the device and was another transitioning to robot or golf bot status. Becoming Robbie the Robot, a golfer's journey, is an uncomfortable experience in terms of diminishing the hot-blooded ape within us. It may well be that it serves the cold and calculating nature of the game of golf. The old saying in golf is that you don't need to draw pictures on the scorecard. The score is only concerned with the number of strokes and not how you got there. Statistics are similarly confined to the facts of figures involving distances, stroke frequency, angles, and geographic pathways. ShotScope is concerned with how you got there and helps you document the round exactly. Obviously, the device itself did not directly contribute to my golfing performance on the day, especially as I struggled with the whole experience throughout the round. Perhaps, to some degree, it did begin to quarantine some of the negative emotions associated with misdirected strokes and their challenging outcomes on the course. It gave me a new thing to do prior to my pre-shot routine. I do find that all these technological golfing aids help fill in the time waiting between shots. On a philosophical level, I ask myself what I most enjoy out of playing golf. Is it the glow of satisfaction following a well-struck iron or fairway club? Is it the rewarding feeling accompanying good outcomes on the golf course? Is it the journey itself involving both highs and lows over 4+ hours, the very nature of doing battle with nature and the elements? Or is it achieving personal bests and victories over the field? Is it the means or the ends? The reason I pose this question is to determine whether my technological enhancement risks my love and enjoyment of the golfing experience. Does Robbie the Robot enjoy golf as much as the banana-eating golfing monkey? Do we lose something as we become disciples to dispassionate golf and the unblinking digital display? Will golfers soon be having devices directly implanted inside their heads and bodies? It would make the scanning procedure easier. Related to all this AI stuff is another golf aid I dabbled in a few years ago, which involved brainwave enhancing sounds and hypnotherapy. Much of the focus of this approach concerned our understanding of the left and right brain hemispheres. The intel underpinning Pro Golf IQ identified the different parts of the brain involved in playing golf, basically determining that our left side of the cerebral cortex processed the sensory data about course conditions and the type of shot needed to play, whereas our right side of the brain executes the shot. This makes some sense in light of experience and when you don't want too many thoughts running around inside your head whilst playing a stroke. The program involved golfers listening to mildly hypnotic instructions and brainwave enhancing sounds via earphones. The audio-based program sought to establish pre-shot protocols which would improve performance. I found the information contained within the program to be sound. I bring this up now because I'm interested in how we process information out on the golf course and how it affects our ability to successfully perform. The many digital devices I carry with me today around the golf course are doing much of the mental grunt work formerly done by the golfer. Determining distances to flags and greens is no longer a case of judgment for the golfer's brain. Likewise, identifying distances to hazards around the course are the purview of the GPS unit and the laser. Measuring wind speeds remain illegal in competition, but there are devices capable of doing this. Some say that the game of golf for the golfer has already been diminished rather than enhanced by these technological aids. The majority of golfers, however, are of a mind to say that the game is hard enough sans determining distances by human assessment alone. Human beings love technology and have always done so. Metallurgy gave the ancients bronze, then iron, and these were great technological shifts from the Stone Age. Golfers play with high-tech golf balls and clubs, which have revolutionized the distances achieved via these materials in the game. Hickory-shafted clubs and featheries will never grace the game again, apart from novelty events. We do still, however, swing the club ourselves, and no labor-saving device has gazumped this aspect of golfing as of yet. All these computer-driven devices are reducing the left brain processing of data derived from our human senses on the golf course. They are contributing to the coalescing of golfing into a right brain activity involving the execution of strokes. In fact, the transportation of golfers in motorized golf buggies around the course has also removed great swathes of the golfing experience and the data this provides to the alert golfer during a round. On the plus side, it has made the game accessible to many older golfers and all those physically unable to walk the course. The human inclination is to make things easier via technology and to profit from these advancements. Golf is an ancient game with its roots in early humans striking stones with sticks. How we think about stuff is being transformed by technologies in and around our daily activities. We embrace new technologies and they change what was there before. Becoming Robbie the Robot, a golfer's journey, is well on the way to new frontiers. Warm-bloodedness may be fading from the links before our very eyes. Robotic golfers trained and enhanced from their formative years are marching in four-ball groupings across fairways around the globe. Every stroke is being recorded with the aid of Google Maps to be displayed on devices and shared everywhere. The golfer is fast becoming an appendage of a program. Or is that supposed to be the other way around? Scan club. Beep, buzz, register club choice and desired distance, play shot, ambulate to golf ball, scan new club, beep, buzz, and begin process again. Don't forget to scan, human, beep, buzz. You are an unreliable unit, human, paltry human, fallible flesh-based life form. Golf is surpassing your abilities and digital displays are replacing you, obsolete unit, beep, buzz, beep, buzz. I wake up after this Terminator-like nightmare, and my GPS device blue-lit screen winks at me across the darkened room. The silent network of devices surround me and await my every move. Imagine if everyone in the world played golf. Yes, we would need a lot more golf courses. However, as this is just imagining, let's say that is taken care of. If everyone was working on improving their handicap and getting better at the game, the place would be an altogether different kettle of fish. Let us say that the majority of folks walked the course. This would make all of us a whole lot healthier, both physically and mentally, less sitting around on fat bums, and more exercise in the great outdoors. Human beings would be, dare I say, happier with themselves from taking those several hours a week to breathe fresh air and swing. If we all played golf, the world would be healthier. If all of us played golf regularly, as in once or twice a week, the spend on health around the globe would plummet. We would not need to prescribe all these medications and perform all those expensive surgeries if everyone exercised every week or every day. As golfers, we're always working on our swings, moving and rotating to find the right tempo and sequenced set of physical actions. Our monkey bodies need to keep swinging. Remember that we are descendants of apes. Stretching to stay limber through our rounds makes us able to perform at the level necessary. Golf is gentle exercise, but involves sustained output over half a day of activity out on the golf course. If you are playing golf for 4+ hours, you are not sitting around and eating. This in itself is a big improvement for many. Why do you think so many jockeys play a lot of golf? To keep the weight off, of course. Golf gives meaning where formerly purpose was lacking. The game of golf provides purpose in a world where purpose is often hidden or difficult to access. The rules of golf are set in stone and the lines are clearly defined. The game has an etiquette which allows it to flow without contention between participants. There is a scorecard that determines how you measure up in terms of birdies, pars and bogeys. You have 18 holes to do your best somehow. The game of golf can give direction and meaning to many lost souls currently going around in an aimless fashion. The mission is a personal one, largely between you and the golf course. The challenge is all yours to improve your swing, strategic thinking, and decision making. Golf provides a framework within which you can improve your fitness, mental clarity, and understanding of your own biomechanics. Some say golf is a meditation for them, that they find peace and a purpose in life via the game. Those 4 hours plus can take an individual away from the problems and complexities of modern life and give them a clear task to fulfill. You know, Zen and the art of blah, blah, blah stuff. The inner game of golf, green cathedral dreams. Golf places you in a context where you can challenge yourself to perform tasks like putting and chipping to the best of your ability. Focus is required, both mental and physical. Intense short-term concentration whilst you stand over that shot or putt. The multitude of different strokes required during a round of golf means we must be agile and flexible in each unique circumstance. Golf is a great test of our resolve. A healthy dose of stoicism is demanded by the vicissitudes of the game, meeting triumph and disaster as the imposters they are, getting on and completing the whole round. Yes, golf can cleanse the mind, body, and soul. Regular bouts of the small ball game can provide stimulation and relief from the morass of modern life. It can energize your will to stand up under strain and empower you to meet challenges in the real world. Finding fortitude on the golf course can rub off in other parts of your life. It is important to remember that golf is not the few individuals squabbling over vast sums of money in the current LIV versus PGA battle. This is about greed and power. It is not about golf. The soul of golf is not located in the professional ranks of the game, as so many golfers wrongly believe. It is firmly inside each and every humble golfer on the planet and their love of the game. Do not confuse money and power with the essence of golf itself. All this current palaver will do is damage the image of the game of golf worldwide, especially in the eyes of the many non-golfers watching on. Imagine if everyone in the world played golf. There would be less negativity around you at work and at home. There would be less war, I reckon, as those very human competitive juices could be played out on the golf course. People would be healthier and happier. Folks would be fitter and more in tune with nature. Individuals would be less stuck in their heads and living more in their bodies for a fuller life experience. The rules of golf are crystal clear, which offers more opportunities for better behavior across the board. Golf is not a game of perfect, which helps us realize our own fallibility. In golf, you have to learn to laugh at yourself, as the game can bring you to your knees, quite literally sometimes. Navigating a small dimpled ball around a vast arena of sculpted nature presents plenty of opportunities for mishits and geographically impossible outcomes. In golf, you have to suck it up and smile in the face of adversity. The game teaches humility. It's a great game to play. How do I tell him or her? You know that whatever you say will be taken the wrong way. You can sense the bristly welcome in your partner's mien. You also know that it is the right thing to do, but just don't shoot the messenger, bro. This is not a case of telling your best friend that their wife or husband is sleeping with someone else, but it can sometimes feel like that. How do I tell him or her that they're swinging way too fast and getting it all wrong? We've all had that experience out on the golf course when observing your playing partner is like watching a train wreck at close hand. What to do or say? Now, you can simply ignore the carnage and concentrate on playing your own game, but what kind of friend does that? Sometimes it is way too painful to ignore for too long, and the golf course can be an intense place for shit like this to happen. Something needs to be said, and no one else is piping up. We all can struggle with our swing sometimes, and it is tough to see yourself because there ain't too many mirrors on the golf course. Buddy, can I mention that you might be swinging a tad too quickly? Please don't shoot the messenger. The glare coming back at you is often mixed with the self-loathing and simmering rage your four-ball partner is experiencing. The cursing and muttering under the breath has been going on for a good while now. The strange, jerky movements have been akin to a broken marionette on the tee. The twisted facial features are permanently grimacing in every direction. The beautiful golf swing is so far removed that your buddy seems to have been invaded by punk rockers on the dance floor of a grungy nightclub. You find yourself forced to look away before you infect your own T-shot via some strange empathy. How do I tell him or her? Give it to them straight. No pussyfooting around, just a clear serve of the truth. Sometimes we all need to be told, slow down. These two words are the best advice ever given on the T. You see, we live in a speeded up world where instantaneous is the expectation for most things. Technology delivers the instant hit, but golf clubs don't. Golf is old school. So don't be fooled by the graphite. Your golf swing is all about timing the sequence of moves. Rushing never did anything good on the golf course. You have to be cruel to be kind in the above situation. A firm word of advice is required to lance the boil. If your golf partner cannot get there by himself or herself, point them in the right direction. Nobody loves a golfer who constantly gives free advice out on the links, but every now and then there comes a time. Take them aside and gently mention the two best words ever uttered on course. Look them in the eye and impart the message with sincerity. Mate, you just need to slow everything down. The Golf Book, Green Cathedral Dreams. This is a book about golf, and in particular why the game of golf is so special. It is a book about why I love the game and why it has captured my passion and imagination. Golf is unlike most other sporting contests in that you play primarily against the course and to a lesser extent against your playing partners and other competing golfers. The lie of the land challenges you from the opening tee shot until the final putt drops. I didn't think I would like this book as I am no longer a keen golfer. I used to play when I was younger, but that was a while ago. The golf book, Green Cathedral Dreams by Robert Souter Hamilton, is well written and it captures the essence of the golfing experience. Reading this book, I was transported back to some of my highs and lows out on the course. I laughed out loud at some of the descriptions of those moments when golf brings you to your knees, hitting multiple trees in a ricochet symphony as your golf ball becomes a pinball and ends up God knows where, duffing shots into the drink and paying the price on your scorecard. The crazy drama that is a round of golf in its own green microcosm. If you want a good read and golf is your game, this is the book for you. If you enjoy something that is written with verve and passion, then whether you golf or not, I recommend this book. You have been listening to the Golf Dom podcast. My name's Robert Souter Hamilton, and I'm the author of The Golf Book, Green Cathedral Dreams, which is available via Amazon. Happy golfing! Hope to see you out there sometime. The backing music on this podcast is by D. Yan Key. Vivo. I hope you enjoyed it.